This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. The Citizens' Councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The Citizens' Councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, from Washington, here is your host for Citizens' Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Citizens Council Forum. Today, we're happy to be talking once again with Congressman Arthur Winstead, Democrat from Mississippi, and with a special guest from overseas, the Reverend D.F.B. de Beer, Public Morals Secretary of the Dutch Reformed Church of South Africa from the Transvaal. Gentlemen, we're very happy to have both of you back today, and Reverend de Beer, especially glad to welcome you to the program again, sir.
I'm glad to be able to give any information that you might desire on South Africa.
There's one question that I would like to ask to begin with, to give our viewers a little basic background information. Would you give us some idea of the racial composition of your country?
South Africa was founded by the Dutch colonists who came out from Holland under Jan van Riebeeck in 1652. So they've been in the country over 300 years, just as long as your New Englanders have been here when America was founded. The British came about 150 years later in 1806, and they took the Cape from Holland. At a later stage, the descendants of the Afrikaners, as we call the Dutch colonists today, moved north and founded republics in Natal, Free State, and Transvaal. The Natal Republic was annexed by Britain almost immediately, and the pioneers, who were known as Voortrekkers, moved out and founded Transvaal and Free State. And they were annexed about the year 1877. And then a war was fought called the First War of Independence, and the Boers, or Afrikaners of those northern provinces, got their independence back. That lasted till about 1899, when a second war of independence was fought, and those two republics were conquered by Great Britain. There were then four British colonies who received self-government from the Campbell-Bannerman government in Britain about a few years later, and they were united to form the present Union of South Africa in 1910. We have thus amongst the white people, who only number 3 million, two races, those of British extraction and those of Dutch extraction. The Dutch are known as Afrikaners and speak Afrikaans. The British speak English and are known as English-speaking South Africans.
Now, which of those groups are you a member of?
I'm a member of the Afrikaners. Of the Afrikaner group. We have two official languages in the country.
And are most of the whites bilingual?
All the Afrikaners are bilingual, and a large percentage of the English-speaking South Africans are bilingual. It's a slower process with them.
Now, you have these 3 million whites. How many blacks are there in the Union of South Africa?
12 million altogether. We call them the Bantu. They have 10 million of Bantu, speaking various languages and belonging to various tribes and in various stages of civilization. And then we have the Cape Colored, the colored people of the Cape. They number 1.5 million. They're a mixed race. They speak Afrikaans and English. And then we have the Indians in Natal, 500,000 of them, who who were brought out by the British to work on the sugar plantations, then allowed to return to India, but who elected to stay. And no inducement of any government afterwards, whether by giving them bonuses and paying their fares to go back to India, could induce them to leave South Africa.
So you have a multiplicity of racial groups living together in the Union.
Yes, and that is our whole problem. How can these races live together in peace and harmony and live themselves out to the full without being dominated, and yet so that each race has perfect liberty? That is the policy.
Well, on the whole, have things been harmonious, racially speaking?
I think if we compare our conditions with conditions in other countries where there are also non-white peoples, that we can say that we have a good record of law and order in South Africa.
Some months ago, South Africa was hitting the headlines in the United States and in the world press, I might add, because of an incident which occurred at Sharpeville. Now, I'm certain that we've received some of the facts concerning that, but I'm wondering if you would care to take a moment to give us the full background on the Sharpeville incident.
Well, the inquiry has been proceeding on Sharpeville, and I'm not aware of what the outcome has been. But my personal view is that the police were in danger of their lives. They were faced by a hostile mob of about 20,000 Bantu, and they were only about 30 armed police, and they fired in self-defense in the course of their duties to restore law and order. That is my personal view. We all regret the loss of life, but in those circumstances there was nothing else to do. It's not known generally that a few months previously a posse of police went to Cater Manor in Durban on a liquor raid, and they were also faced by a huge mob, and so they sent people to get reinforcements. While these were away, eight of those policemen, white and Bantu, were murdered, and that created a tremendous amount of feeling in the country. They were young policemen, some of them barely 20 years old. And I think that fact also influenced the police at Sharpeville, and when they couldn't disperse the crowd by means of tear gas and other means, they reverted to fire.
Congressman Winstead?
Reverend DeVere, I have always felt that South Africa was very friendly with the United States and the Western world. And I was very much disappointed when the State Department and the Friends of South Africa put so much pressure on you recently. But the question I'd like to ask you, what strategic importance does South Africa have to the United States and to the Western world?
Mr. Winstead, I ought to say that we were tremendously shocked, the ordinary man in the street, at the reaction of the various Western governments to the incident of Sharpeville. We didn't expect that from nations who had always been friendly to South Africa. In fact, we felt just as Julius Caesar felt when he said to Brutus, et tu Brute, when Brutus assisted in assassinating his friend. That is how we reacted. We've always been friendly with the United Nations and with the West. We've always been friendly with the United States and with the Western nations. And we consider ourselves in South Africa as the southernmost bastion of democracy. Now, when the Suez Canal was closed at the time of the Egyptian crisis, all the ships had to pass via the Cape. That was the only route to the east. And it was very important for the nations of the West to have a people at the south who were friendly disposed to them. So I think that South Africa is of great importance not only to your country, but to most of the Western countries, and that instead of censuring her or developing pressure on her to change her internal policies, the governments of the West should rather support her, where she's a small nation.
May I ask you one other question? As a minister and in your position as Secretary of the Public Morals, does your church take about the same position as your government so far as segregation of the races are concerned? And do I understand that these various colored races also believe in segregation, as much so or along the line of the white
folk? Well, as regards my church, we treat every question of that nature according to what the Bible teaches. And if apartheid is the caricature that you have presented to you here and in Britain and other countries, of course my church would not support it. But if apartheid is what I've explained it to be, namely the differential development of each indigenous race according to its innate characteristics and to its fullest capacity and for the service of its own people, then I say that my church finds nothing in Christian ethics or in the Bible that is contrary to the basic principle of segregation which underlies the present policy in South Africa.
One thing that's hard for me to understand in this country is how that some of our so-called Christian leaders in all faiths, and especially our nominees for the presidency of the United States, can go out and advocate in this country sit-in strikes into private business establishments in total violation of state and local law. And it seems to me that that group here in this country is stirring up racial friction here by so acting on the same manner as it appears to me that we stirred up racial friction in your country when we tried to interfere with internal affairs of South Africa.
Well, the ordinary man in the street in South Africa looks at that question like this. They see that Britain and the United States are trying to appease the non-white nations of Africa and of the world, and trying to win their favor. And because they're trying to do this, they don't mind sacrificing South Africa or any other white nation in order to get the favor of these non-white nations. That's how they look at it.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to break in at this point, gentlemen. Our time has gone by very quickly once again. I'd like to continue this discussion at a future date, if we might. We've been talking for the past few moments with Reverend D.F.B. de Beer of the Dutch Reformed Church of the Union of South Africa and Congressman Arthur Winstead, Democrat from Mississippi. Join us again next week at the same time for another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. Each of us has a job to do. Your support is needed. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.